Well, let's think for a little while this evening about the seventh verse of Ephesians chapter 1. Our second reading tonight came from one of Paul's letters, the Apostle Paul's letters, to one of the churches of the first century. And right at the start, in verse 7, he describes for us very wonderfully, I think, what the Christian faith is all about. So, have you ever asked that question? What is Christianity all about? How do you sum up the Christian message in a verse? And I think there are lots of verses in the Bible that we could latch on to. We quoted one in the prayer earlier on, didn't we? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That really sums up what the Christian message is about. And here, I think, in verse 7 of this chapter, we have another one. Here it says, in him, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, just for a little while tonight, I want us to think about that verse, and perhaps to think about it by looking at some of the individual words in the sentence. It's always good, isn't it, to make sure we understand all the words in a sentence, because otherwise the sentence doesn't make any sense to us, does it? If there are words that we don't understand, we won't understand the whole of the message of the verse itself. I suppose there's one word in that verse that we would rather wasn't there. There's an ugly word in that verse, isn't there? And it's the word sins. It's the word that's found there. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Sin isn't a word we use very often nowadays, is it? Although we might use it in certain contexts. So apparently if you go to Slimmer's World, it will surprise none of you that I don't go to Slimmer's World. But if you go to Slimmer's World, sometimes they talk about sins. The cream cake that you might have, or the dessert that you might have after your meal. And you're allowed so many sins in a week as part of your diet, perhaps. And we tend to use the word sin in a fun way like that, don't we? But the Bible, when it talks about sin, is deadly serious. Sin are those things that we say and that we do and that we think that are wrong in God's sight. Sin are those things that God, who is holy and who is pure, and who cannot look upon sin. The Bible tells us that his eyes are too pure even to be able to look on sinful things and sinful people. Sin is a serious thing. When we do things that are wrong, when we say things that are wrong, when we have attitudes that are wrong, sometimes we don't like ourselves for having it, and other people don't like us when we do and say and think those things. But what's more important is that God cannot abide those things. The Bible tells us that God made the world perfect. He made the first man and the first woman perfect. It was a world that was paradise, and it was paradise not because the weather was beautiful or the scenery was beautiful. No, it was paradise because there was no sin. There was nothing wrong in the world. There was no wickedness in the world. And man and God were able to enjoy fellowship with one another. Genesis speaks about God coming and walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And there was no sin. And as we look around the world, we see, don't we, wickedness. We see wrongdoing. We see man's evil, man's inhumanity to man. And we would recognize that sin is everywhere. But we don't have to look around the world, do we? We just look within our hearts. And we see that within our hearts, within our character, within our temperament, within our inmost being, there is sin. And that forms a barrier between us and God. And God's holiness and our sinfulness means we can't rub together. We can't be together. We can't have that relationship with God that we would want to have. And one of the reasons why God has given us a Bible And certainly the reason why he gave us his son Jesus is because of that problem of sin. And this verse speaks about sin. And so that's the first word that we need to understand. Sin is the wrong things within our hearts, within our lives, that separate us from God. But you notice another word that's found in this verse, and it's the word forgiveness. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now you see, the fact that the word forgiveness is there changes everything. You see, the good news of the gospel, the good news of the Bible, is that God has sent Jesus so that our sins might be forgiven. You see, we sometimes think that we can sort out our own sin. That if only we can do enough things, good things, kind things, moral things, we could perhaps outweigh our sinfulness. Some people think that if our good works could only outweigh our bad works. You think about scales, and if we can do just enough to tip the scales in our favor, and that would be good, that would be okay, and we'd be right with God. But when we think like that, we misunderstand what the Bible says about sin and what it says about God. Sin is not just what we do and what we say and what we think, but it's what we are. And it's our character that needs to be changed, and it's our life that needs to be dealt with. And we can never do enough things to remove our sins. But you see, the Bible speaks about forgiveness. It speaks about a gift of forgiveness. It speaks about a God who is willing and ready to forgive our sins. It tells us that that's why Jesus came into the world, so that our sins could be forgiven. The Bible has lovely pictures of forgiveness in the Old Testament. Let me remind you of some of them. In the Old Testament, there's a picture of God burying our sins in the depths of the sea so that he doesn't see them anymore. Excuse me. We think about all the things that are dumped in the sea these days, and it worries us, doesn't it? We know that we're corrupting and polluting our world, and the thought of all the waste products and plastics and things going into the sea, it's a terrible thing, isn't it? But we know why people do it. They do it because they want to get rid of it. They want it out of the way. They don't have to deal with it. But you see, here's this picture that God gives us of him taking our sins and burying them in the depths of the sea so that we don't see them anymore. So that we don't have to deal with anymore. He does that because of his grace. Or there's another picture that's used in the Bible. Though your sins might be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. We all know what scarlet is, don't we? Scarlet is a deep red, isn't it? It's a bright red. It's something that stands out. That you can't avoid. But our sins, though they are as scarlet, the Bible says, they can be white like snow. We think when the snow comes, don't we, and how white the snow is. Maybe you've done some washing, some white shirts perhaps, a white blouse. You put it out on the line, and then the snow comes, and suddenly your whites not as white as you thought they were, because the snow is white. The Bible says that our hearts, our sins, though they are like scarlet, they can be whiter than the snow. God transforms us by his grace, and he will forgive our sins. There's another picture that's used. It's the picture of God removing our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. So you look at a map of the world and you think about how far it is from the west coast, perhaps, of the United States, right across the Atlantic to Europe, and and then across to Asia. And you see the great extent, the great distance between the East and the West. And the Bible says that's a picture of how God can forgive us. He can forgive our sins, those sins that called him for judgment. He can deal with them, and he can forgive them. Think of the worst thing that you've done. Think of the thing that perhaps is still on your conscience. Think about the thing that you did in the past, perhaps, or maybe quite recently, and you wish with all your heart you hadn't done it. And sometimes perhaps you wake up in the night thinking about it, and you think, well, how will I ever get that out of my mind? What I did was wrong. But you see, the Bible tells us that with God there is forgiveness. That if we cry out to God, he'll forgive our sins. He'll take them away. He'll bury them in the depths of the sea. He'll remove them as far as the east is from the west for us. And the Christian message is a message about forgiveness, that we can be forgiven. That if we cry out to God and if we ask him, he will forgive our sins and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How can he do that? How can a just God do that? How can a God forgive our sins when we've done things that are so bad? Well, there's another word in this verse that answers that question, and it's the word blood. Listen to it again. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, why is that word blood there? Well, the word blood there is shorthand, if you like, for the cross of Jesus. You see, the central event of the Bible, the central event of the Christian message, is the fact that Jesus has died. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell us about the life of Jesus, don't they? And we love to read them. We love to read the stories of Jesus, don't we? Think of the great miracles that he did, making blind people to see, making deaf people to hear, making disabled people to be able to walk and to run, transforming people's lives in the most amazing way, raising people from the dead. We thought a little bit about that this morning as we thought about Jairus' daughter in Luke's Gospel. And he did all of those wonderful things. And there were people whose lives were a mess, perhaps because of their sin or perhaps because of demons that were possessing them. And Jesus was able to deal with them and give them peace and make their lives new again. And he did all of those wonderful things. But the Gospels tell us that that wasn't the main reason why Jesus came. The main reason why Jesus came was to give his life as a ransom for many. The main reason why Jesus came was so that he would die on the cross for our sins. He hadn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. One of the great truths that is all the way through the Bible is that Jesus has come to pay the price for our sins, to die in our place upon the cross. And that's what the reference to blood is here in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, the Bible tells us that in dying on the cross, God's anger and God's justice in relation to our sins is satisfied. Jesus dies in our place. You and I deserve to die because we've sinned, but Jesus dies there as a substitute, as a sacrifice. He sheds his blood. He didn't deserve to die. His life was perfect. There was no sin in his life, but he dies there in our place, and he dies there as a sacrifice. And as he hangs on the cross on that first Good Friday, as those nails are driven into his hands and into his feet, as that crown of thorns is pressed upon his skull, and as the blood comes from his wounds, as he dies there, God's justice is satisfied. He's paid the price for us. He's died in our place. And our sins, the Bible says, are put upon him so that we don't have to bear them. We don't have to carry them. We don't have to pay the penalty for them anymore. No, there is forgiveness through through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible makes clear that that's the only way our sins can be forgiven. There is no other way whereby we can be saved except through Jesus dying upon the cross. And he does die on the cross. And he does pay the price of our sins. And so in him we can have forgiveness of sins because he sheds his blood upon the cross. That's why when we sing our hymns, very often we sing about the cross. That's why when we pray, we thank God for sending Jesus and for his death in our place upon the cross. And so here we have it. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, that leads us to another word that's found in this verse. It's the word redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood. What does redemption mean? Well, redemption means a price has been paid and we've been bought back. We've been paid for. And we've been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, redemption isn't a word we use very often, do we? Sometimes perhaps we might have a token. We might have a voucher that comes from a shop. And sometimes in the small print on the back, it will have redemption value. And very often that redemption value is a very small amount. It'll be 0.00001 pence. In other words, if you want to sell this voucher back to the shop or whoever it is who gave it to you, they're not going to give you very much money for it. The voucher perhaps is useful in another way, but redemption is the idea of buying something back. And you see, Jesus has redeemed us by his blood, the Bible says. We sing sometimes, don't we, about Jesus as the Redeemer. I will sing of my Redeemer and his love for me. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. Jesus is the Redeemer. He pays the penalty for our sins, and he buys us back. So we belong to him. So the price has been paid. So we are set free from our sin, and we can have that relationship with him again. In him, we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And you see, that's the last word, in a sense, that we need to think about if we're going to understand the gospel. This word, grace, it's important because a little bit later in Ephesians, in chapter 2, if you go over to the next chapter and to verse 8, we read this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What is grace? Well, grace is God dealing with us, not according to what we deserve, but God giving us something that we don't deserve. We may go through life, mightn't we, and say, you know, things have happened to me that I didn't deserve. We all perhaps have an idea, don't we, about what we deserve in life. And sometimes things happen to us and we say, well, I really didn't deserve that. My life is better than that. And this thing has happened to me and I just don't believe I deserve that. Sometimes we can have that attitude in life. What if God were to deal with us in the way that we deserve? We've already begun, haven't we, by thinking about the fact that we're sinners. And our only hope is forgiveness. We've reminded ourselves that Jesus came. And Jesus died on the cross so that we might have forgiveness. Here we are reminded by this word grace that God doesn't deal with us according to our deservings. But he is gracious to us. We don't deserve forgiveness. We can never deserve it. We don't deserve eternal life. We can never deserve eternal life. We don't deserve a relationship with God because our sins stop us. And we can never deserve that relationship. But God is gracious. God is full of grace. You notice this verse doesn't just talk about grace. It talks about the riches of his grace. When we think about riches, we think about money, don't we? Or we think about land, or we think about possessions. And the rich person is the person who has lots of those things, lots of money in the bank, lots of possessions in their home, lots of this and lots of that. God is a God who is rich in grace. And because he's rich in grace, he doesn't deal with us according to our deservings. No, what he does is he is gracious to us. And he forgives us though we don't deserve it. And because of his grace, you and I can be saved. You see, that's what the Christian message is. Verse 7 here gives it to us, as it were, in a nutshell. That although we are sinners, although we have broken God's law, although we have sinned against his holiness, we can be forgiven. How can we be forgiven? We can be forgiven because Jesus has died upon the cross for us. And we can be forgiven because God, as well as being holy and just and majestic in those things, is a God who is rich in grace towards us. And so whoever we are tonight and whatever we've done, we can be saved by his grace. We can find forgiveness because he is a gracious God. How can I know that forgiveness? How can I be saved? How can I know that my sins are forgiven? Well, the Bible tells us again and again that if we believe in the Lord Jesus, we can be saved. God doesn't ask us to make a pilgrimage here or to give so much money there or to make a resolution about our lives now. What he asks us to do is to put our trust in Jesus. He asks us to believe in him. He asks us to give up believing in ourselves and to put our faith and our trust in the fact that Jesus has died upon the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. And if we believe in him, because of the wonderful things that we find in a verse like the one that we've looked at tonight, then our sins can be forgiven and we can have everlasting life. Well, may God bless his word to us. May he help us to understand it and to believe in it with all our hearts.